world. Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman follows space engineering and space exploration. We go to a success so far. Bob, what is Gaganyaan? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Gaganyaan is India's Mercury program, you could say. It's their effort to put their first human beings into orbit around the Earth. And they completed successfully this past weekend their first launch abort test of the Gaganyaan capsule. This was a test to see if the abort system during launch could safely separate the capsule from a failing rocket and then release parachutes and bring it safely down to the ground in the ocean. And they completed the test successfully. It was actually interesting because they initially had a launch abort at about T-minus 0 seconds. And at that moment, they implied they were going to have to stand down and launch another time. And then they acted more like a private space company like SpaceX rather than a space agency, since this is India's space agency, ISRO. They managed to figure out what was wrong, recycle the thing, and launch the same evening, less than an hour or so later. And that's I think, is even more significant than the successful abort launch. They have a bunch of things they have to accomplish before they can do the manned mission. They're targeting next year, but I still have doubts it'll happen. They have plans to do at least three different separate unmanned Gaganyaan orbital missions prior to putting humans on the spacecraft. So to do that next, to get the manned flight next year, they're going to have to launch Gaganyaan capsules unmanned like clockwork, like almost on a monthly basis or bi-monthly basis to get ready for the manned mission later in the year.
Boeing, Starliner. NASA issues an explanation? No, but a process is underway to fix what's wrong with Starliner. The tape, Bob, have they fixed the tape?
They're in the. All right, so just so everyone understands, Starliner is the manned capsule that Boeing was supposed to build to compete with SpaceX. It is years behind schedule. It has had numerous, endless technical problems, some unforeseen. Most, though, completely illustrating incompetence at Boeing. And you mentioned the tape. This is absolutely the worst example of that. It appears that when they built the Starliner capsule, they used an electric tape to hold the wiring harness of the capsule in place and to protect it in place. That turns out to be flammable. It's just astonishing that any space company would do such a thing, considering the track record and what we know from the Apollo 1 accident back in 1957. I mean, it's just incredible. Well, they say they have now completed tape removal on part of the Starliner crew capsule, and they're in the process of removing or remediating the tape. That means they're going to cover it or protect it for the rest of the capsule. They hope to complete that, they say, in the next several weeks. To my mind, even if they fix that problem, that they did that, it just says something horrible about Boeing. They also have a secondary problem, which equally says bad things about Boeing. The parachutes for the Starliner capsule when it returns to Earth, the linkage that connects the parachutes to the capsule was discovered suddenly, just a few months ago, to be too weak. That the parachutes might break off when they were released. So they've had to now redesign that connection point, and they're going to have to do a drop test of this Starliner capsule with these new parachutes. That's going to have to happen after they finished all the tape repair work. And they are still targeting a March launch, not a March launch, but a March ready date for what is now scheduled an April launch of next year. Based on Boeing's track record here, we have no idea if that'll happen. That April 24th flight is going to be the first that will fly with people on board Starliner. Even if successful, I really would be questionable whether I trust the engineering of this company right now.
Varda is a private company. It has a better idea, and yet it ran into regulators in the U.S. government, so it's moving to Australia. What regulators, Bob?
Let's just give a little background here. Varda is an American company trying to develop a concept whereby it will launch a capsule into orbit that will have the equipment inside to manufacture things in zero gravity and then return them to Earth to sell to the general public. One of the most important such products is pharmaceuticals. And in particular, they have a capsule in orbit right now that has manufactured pharmaceuticals to help cure AIDS. That can't be done in Earth gravity. They have to be done in zero gravity, this kind of manufacturing. This has been known since the 80s. There's been repeated attempts to try to get pharmaceuticals made in space to make money. And the profit is potential. It's real. It exists. They can't get that capsule back. It's a total loss because FAA and the Army have refused to give Varda a permission to land that capsule in the Utah test range that NASA used just a few weeks ago to bring the Bennu samples back from OSIRIS-REx. But no, it's a private company. It's not a government agency, so we're going to stop you. And they have, basically, it's incompetence. The FAA and the Pentagon can't agree on the paperwork. And the new licensing rules that the Biden administration put forth that we're going to streamline everything is one of the reasons that everything is slowing down. It's just badly written. And the private enterprise said this to FAA back when they first announced these new regulations. They're not going to streamline anything. They'll make it worse. So what has Varda done? It is now officially signed a deal with a private Australian spaceport to land its capsules, and it's going to, the second capsule that launches next year is going to land in Australia, and it'll probably be where they land everything because they have no problems. Australia has no problems to say yes to private enterprise. Our federal government, however, is an enemy to the American people and said no, and so this American company has to go elsewhere to get this thing done.
It's called Part 450, Launch and Reentry License Requirements. This is on a website. You can all look it up. Those of you who are looking to be enterprising and launch into outer space from a U.S. launch site, Code of Federal Regulations, Part 450 FAA. We move on to Space Perspective, also a private company, and it's had a better idea. What is it, Bob?
Space Perspective is one of about, I'd say, four or five private companies that want to launch high-altitude tourist balloons to the stratosphere, to the range of somewhere around 19 to 25 miles in the air, to give people a view of the Earth as if it's a planet, because you see the curve of the Earth. You wouldn't be in space, but you'd be in near space. It would be the equivalent of almost going in space, but it's unlike the suborbital rocket missions that go into space. Those last only a few minutes. This would be like 6 to 9 hours in space. And because it's 6 to 8, 9 hours, Space Perspective announced, revealed the restroom facilities that will exist on its Neptune tourist balloon that they're building right now that they hope to start doing test flights next year. And so this bathroom, it looks like an airplane bathroom essentially, but it's got windows. So when you're in there, you can look out at the Earth below you 19 miles away. And so that's clever. And they're basically selling their product. They say they've sold 1,600 deposits for tickets at $125K each, which represents about $200 million in potential income. And when they start flying, if those tickets pay up, they'll make a lot of money.
Yeah, I think it's a really good idea, much better than the initial idea of the suborbital stuff. A balloon is something you can understand from history. All right, Blue Origin. This is a big story that requires explanation. Blue Origin is Jeff Bezos, founded about the same time, I believe, as SpaceX.
Yes.
And yet,
yes,
they've got engine problems, they've got assembly problems, they've got reproducibility problems. Now they've got management problems. What are they going to do about it?
Truthfully, John, I think the management problems came first, and it's the reason for all those other problems. Blue Origin was founded at the same time as SpaceX. SpaceX now has launched something like 5,000 Starlink capsules. It has landed a first stage more than 200 times and reuses them routinely. It's now launched more times than anyone else in the world at this point this year. Totally successful money, a company making lots of money. Blue Origin hasn't launched anything. It has its suborbital New Shepard craft, which is, by the way, grounded right now due to a failure on its last launch more than a year ago. Their orbital rocket has never launched at all. They've had troubles making their BE-4 engine, which that rocket needs, and ULA needs for its Vulcan rocket as well. So finally, after 6 years, Jeff Bezos is finally reshuffling and rearranging the management at Blue Origin because it's clearly been a vast failure. We already know that Bob Smith, who came in 2017 and basically shut the company down, a failure, he's going away before the end of this year. They have at least one other major executive is gone, and now a third executive is leaving. And according to a lot of Blue Origin employees, they're celebrating this guy's leaving with great happiness. That's most interesting. Basically, Bezos appears to finally be rearranging the management. They've also not just simply getting rid of some people, they're also rearranging the structure of the management. They've shifted their Luna Lander project into its own division, and they've created a separate division for developing in-space robotic servicing and orbital tug services. The restructuring, who knows if that's going to help. Getting rid of the bad people is always going to help. It can't hurt. They need to do something, and let's hope this finally gets this company off the ground.
Thinking of the future, Bob, it would be a great delight 100 years from now to have a business plan study of the two companies side by side.
What can
go wrong and what can go why and why? Musk, who shoots from the hip, and Bezos, who's all corporate all the time. I mean, he was trained in investment banking. I think it was Goldman Sachs. I'm not sure. But all of this might explain what we're seeing now, because they have lots of money. They've never had any problems there. And they had big ideas similar to SpaceX. And yet here we have what looks to be a complete restart. It's like you're going offline and coming back on again with a whole new face. And I wish them well. But I don't know if they've learned, Bob.
You can do lots of management studies, but it really always comes down to people. It's the people that work there. Elon Musk focused on getting the right people and making sure they did the work. And if they didn't do the work, he got rid of them and got new people. And he moved fast every time he found that out. And I could give examples, but we don't have time. Bezos, it appears, doesn't seem to be hiring the right people, and he hasn't moved fast to correct the problems when it was obvious they were there. This management shift should have happened 4 years ago. If very clearly the problem started to appear 4 years ago, when they couldn't get the BE-4 engine operating on time and testing was not being allowed by Bob Smith, that's when he should have moved, and that was 4 years ago, and he didn't do it. And so that's the big difference. It's people, John.
Belarus, one of the adversaries is Belarus. You will recall there has been so-called deployment of nuclear weapons in Belarus, and now Belarus thinks it's a space power. What are they doing, Bob?
They signed an agreement with China to participate in China's Luna Base project. And they have now joined Azerbaijan, another former province of the USSR, as well as Russia, Pakistan, Venezuela, and South Africa. Wow, what space powers that China's got working with it. This is very similar to the Soviet-era Eastern Bloc that did partnership with the Soviet Union in space. Most of these countries can't really do anything. It's mainly public relations by China to say it has obtained international partners, when in truth, the only people that can really sign in on its project are communist nations, essentially, that have no choice. They can't go anywhere else. And these are weak countries that don't have any capabilities, so it's public relations. But they're nonetheless signing them up, and we're basically seeing the Cold War revisited in space in the coming years, John.
A near collision between two satellites. One a Chinese military satellite. The other, is it Australian or Canadian, Bob? I can't remember.
Australian. It's an Australian satellite. This was revealed by Australian military official. This occurred several weeks ago. The military satellite was actually going to come very close, less than 100 meters, 300 feet, from that satellite, from the Australian satellite. And the Chinese did a maneuver 16 hours prior to increase the distance to almost a kilometer. However, there was no communications with China on this, and that's the problem, because when you have near misses, you really want to be able to talk to each other and make sure there's not going to be any conflict. I mean, if you don't talk to China and they make a maneuver and you don't know they're going to make a maneuver and you make a maneuver, you might actually maneuver both into each other. You have to talk to each other. So that's part of the issue. The problem itself here is not many satellites in orbit, though that's what they're trying to sell. The problem here is because the satellites, it's communication, as I said. You got to talk to each other, and that's the Chinese problem. They got to talk to people. The real problem in terms of orbital collisions, though, continues to be space junk,
right?
Because that stuff you can't control and you can't maneuver in any way.
Bob Zimmerman, Behind the Black, we're going exploring. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.